Hey, everybody. Welcome back with a new episode of my Best Vintage Life podcast. I'm Bridget Morawski, and this is my co-host,
Art Bazarkanian,
coming to you live from the sitting room of the warehouse because my office is currently being renovated.
Remodeled.
Repainted new flooring. Yeah. Are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Just going to jump right into my normal little beginner notes. Email us at admin@mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. That's admin@mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. Social media, we are on Instagram and Pinterest at My Best Vintage Life Podcast. Website, www.mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. You can sign up for our monthly Vintage for Business newsletter there. Check out our selection of vintage books, lots of goodies there on the website. You can reach us via Google Voice at 559-365-6743. That's 559-365-6743. Don't forget to rate or review.
Those are so fun to listen to sometimes. They crack me up, those messages that people leave on that Google voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
Those are a crack up.
You're a crack up. Don't forget to rate and or review the podcast.
On we Bean
could,
Buddies?
We could really use some new reviews. You could do that on Apple Podcasts or on Podchaser. Podchaser is a great site. And then my obsession at the moment, Art found me something that I haven't had in so long, and they are buffalo-flavored pretzel chips. So thank you, Art, for those.
You are quite welcome. Whenever I think of snacks, I think of you.
That's odd. Not. but do you have an obsession at the moment?
I do. I've just been all about Carvel's lately, especially, what's that guy? Chucky the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
Yeah. And his assortment of friends.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starfish.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do our patrons in between our two topics today. Don't roll your eyes. You should be saying thank you.
Thank you, patrons. I see the desk you have purchased out in a warehouse that will soon be inside.
The table, yes, I show them on Instagram today, those who are following us along, following along on Instagram with us. So today's topic is, are you ready for wholesale? Are you ready to buy wholesale vintage clothing?
Well, deep thoughts.
Sometimes people don't ask this question outright, but sometimes their questions lead me to believe they either are or they aren't. You know what I mean?
Actually, most of the time, I feel like if I have to question it, they aren't ready.
But like nobody ever really comes out and, you know, asks that exact question. And sometimes it might be they're nervous, they're scared, they're embarrassed. So I thought we could kind of maybe talk about some red flags.
Sure.
That would
be helpful. Yeah. I know a lot of the questions I get sometimes are about, you think I'm ready to open up my own brick and mortar? But we could talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the first red flags to me that would, these red flags point to no, comma, you probably aren't ready to buy wholesale vintage clothing. And that's nothing to be embarrassed about. I'll say that before we even start. You know, I never bought wholesale when I was selling vintage
clothing. Let's define what you mean by wholesale. I mean, going to a place of business that curates things and buying at a elevated price point, right, as opposed to doing the yard sale and the thrift store thing.
Yes.
That's what you mean by wholesale.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So like buying from us.
Us or other.
Correct.
Potential places of worship.
Vintage worship.
Yeah.
So my first red flag would be is if you're concerned about our minimum. Now, our minimum is $1,000 United States dollars, USD. So I do get people, you know, who say they're concerned about the minimum, or they come here and they're like, you know, taking away things like their total. We might total up their order and it's like $1,045, for example. And they're like figuring out. I mean, you've seen people do that. They're like, okay, I need to get it like just around 1,000. So in my opinion, if that's where you are financially, I personally don't think you're quite ready yet. What do you think about that?
I look at it two ways. It's good to have a budget because you know your finances. But if the idea of $1,000 frightens you, then you're best served, you know, getting the most bang for your buck. And maybe that $1,000 should be spent at a flea market or a thrift store, because it'll probably ultimately get you more items that you can turn over quickly than at a place that, you know, has put in all the grunt work for you. So you're paying a premium for the people's time to curate. So I look at it both ways. It's good to have a budget, but it's also, you know, you shouldn't, your budget shouldn't be that low. And based on your budget is where you should shop.
Yeah, it's great to
have. I don't get offended by it.
No, no, not at all. And budgeting in general is a great life skill that I don't even know if they teach it anymore at school.
No, they took it out.
Yeah. So knowing how to budget your money and your time are great things. Okay, so my next red flag would be kind of tying in with the minimum. If you're concerned about price per piece, and I think that goes into what Art was just saying, you know, you can buy things at a thrift store per piece cheaper than what you could here. And that's mostly because we have things curated for you.
And also at the same time, it's like, do you need 10 of something or are you happy getting one of that item? You know, at a thrift store, the chances of you getting duplicates of things is very far and few in between.
Yeah, so you might get one item cheap, but you could come here and get 10 of it.
Yeah, so you have to also put a value for your time of shopping too.
Yeah, because, you know, if you are at a thrift store and, you know, you never really know what you're going to get.
Right, no guarantees.
That is a loss of your time. It's gas money. It's wear and tear on your car. It's time away from work. Maybe you take days off to do it. Maybe time away on the weekends from your family, friends, whatever. You know, like Art said, you have to put a value on your time. Just something to think about. Okay, another red flag. You have no idea how much inventory you need. What do you think about that one, Art?
That goes along the lines of also knowing who your customers are and what your turnover rate is. Like, how fast are you moving through your inventory? Or are you stockpiling for a big sale? So a lot of it has to do with what your plans are, what your intent is with the items. If you are saving up to open up a store and it's going to take you 6 months to build up an inventory, okay, I get it. But if you're just buying things and have no clue when the next flea is, when the next pop-up is, or the next consignment you're doing, then, you know, maybe put a little, pump the brakes a little bit, get that vision and understand where you're going to be selling and see how that goes. And then that'll kind of tell you what kind of flow you need to back you up.
Yeah. I personally don't think it's a good idea to come here and just, you know, have absolutely no mental picture of what you need.
100%. Or what your needs are. I mean, if you're a shop owner, you know what your needs are most of the time. But this place can be overwhelming. So that's why I like to help people kind of like, hey, what do you sell? What's moving for you? You know, it's not to be nosy. It's to help guide you.
You aren't sure who your customer is yet. I think that that's another red flag.
Yeah. Are you at a pop-up? Is it a flea? Is it brick and mortar? Is it, you know, are you selling on Etsy? Are you selling on eBay?
Not only that, but like, are you selling to, I'm talking about like aesthetics too, you know, like you don't even know, does your customer like denim? Do they like military? Do they like t-shirts? Do they like more feminine pieces? Do they like leather jackets? You know, it's, I personally would recommend testing using other sourcing methods first. And then once you figure out these are like my 5 to 10, maybe even 15 core items, then that's a good time to start buying them in bulk instead of putting in a big investment without ever testing them first.
I agree. It's kind of like when Babu opened up that Pakistani restaurant without test marketing and it didn't do so well.
Babu. Oh, on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because he had like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and people like that.
He didn't have Pakistani food.
Exactly. Why don't you open a Pakistani restaurant?
Right, because I think Elaine gets like fettuccine or something.
Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to go off topic, but that's what it kind of reminds me of. It's like, you know, why change to do something when something else has been working so well?
Correct.
Know your test market.
And then my last red flag is, you know, you can't carve time out for a sourcing trip. So if the idea of taking 2 or 3 days off of work, away from your kids, away from your other priorities in your life is so overwhelming and stressful to you, or even a day, then, you know, you might need to stick to local things or things that are more easy for you geographically and not so stressful in terms of travel and planning. What do you think about that? Because there are some people that are just like, I don't have the time, you know?
It's all about priorities. Right. I mean, obviously, if they can't make it here, they have other means and other places where they get things. So, you know, to me, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, you make the effort, you'll succeed. If you don't, you won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people just don't have interest in really kind of making things work. You know, you meet all sorts of people like that all throughout your life where they could make it work, but
the mental breaks.
Yeah, there's like that mental block there. Yeah. So any red flags that you would like to add?
Red flag. Yeah, I mean, I think you covered them perfectly, and hopefully I expanded on them. No.
No, because you said you wanted to talk about something later on, and I didn't know. I can't remember what it was. Did I skip it?
No, we covered it all.
No? Okay. All right, so going now into our patrons, we have 3 new patrons.
Wow.
Hello. And they each have a question for Art. So.
What?
Yeah, get ready.
Okay.
All right, our first patron is someone that I've known almost my entire life since preschool.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, someone who I know from my former state.
I told you she's an alien.
Okay, so her name is Corinne, and she's a really cool little concept going on eBay. And her Instagram handle is at Corinne. So I'll spell it out for you. It's CorinneGrohol. That's at Corinne Grohol. And don't you laugh. Apologize.
I'm not laughing.
You laughed.
No, I just, I thought I spelled something differently.
I actually asked her how to pronounce her name because I didn't think I would do it right.
Grohl? Like Grohl's?
No, Grohol. Don't laugh.
I'm not.
Corinne has a good sense of humor, thank God.
I'm not laughing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Corinne. Anyways, she has an eBay store. What are you making faces at me?
Sorry.
No, her eBay store is super cute. Okay, so it's FIVE, the number 2.
5-2.
And then the word 25. So her eBay store, all items are $5 to $25.
It's clever.
Yeah, and she does really great photography, nice, not colorful, but like natural light photos, and has a very, you know, books, home decor, tchotchkes, all sorts of things. And she does really well with it. It's her side hustle. As far as I know, it's her side hustle. I'm not sure if she's working full time still, but either way, she's doing really great with it. So check out her Instagram, and I'm going to pull up my text because I texted her earlier. She has a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. So she wants your opinion on Etsy versus eBay for selling vintage. So let's say for clothing. If you were forced, you, Art Bazarkanian, were forced to open up a shop, mm-hmm. would you go back to eBay or would you try Etsy? And she said she remembers hearing on a podcast episode when you talked about you and Rafi selling on eBay a long time ago.
Well, thank you for remembering. Yeah, we actually bought and sold on eBay back in 1996, 97, 98. I even had all my Rose Bowl leftovers. I had a team here in Fresno that would, about 6 of us, and they would list, take pictures. We would upload photos using InkFrog, and it would take 2 minutes a picture, and then editing, and this was with a dial-up modem. So times have changed, but eBay's bullshit policies have not. They still do not respect vendors. They treat the vendors like crap. Buyers have ultimate power, and you never want to be in a position where you're like that, okay? So I have that problem, and anybody I talk to who works on eBay, they deal with it. It's almost like extortion. You know, the fees are outrageous. Now, anywhere between 18 to 25% by the time you're done selling something. So if you sold it for $100, you're probably going to keep anywhere from $76 to $82 if you're lucky.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Etsy, I've heard great things about it. I think Etsy is more craft specific. Depop is also good.
No, Etsy was started more as a craft handmade site, but right. I do think that in terms of vintage clothing, it is heavily saturated. Also with the home goods as well, but she was asking about clothing specifically. I've had two Etsy stores in my lifetime, and I didn't have any issues with Etsy at the time. I'm just saying this because I know you haven't had an Etsy store.
Right. So that's why I'd be more apt to try it.
You'd be interested in
trying
it.
I would try it.
Yeah.
But also, let's say I've done both and I know what the fees are on Etsy because I've looked at that and I've talked to people and I know what the fees are and I know what the drawbacks of each one is. I think it would be based on what sort of margins I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, because eBay's search engine, if you ever search anything, you'll notice the first two things that pop up on whatever it is eBay. Etsy's a little bit further down on the bottom. So their SOE is much stronger, much better. Search anything, it'll pop up that way on Google. So
okay, well, think about someone like Corinne, for example, right. $5 to $25.
Well, okay.
Her margin has a ceiling because her, you know, she has a range of prices.
Correct.
Yeah.
So then I would say that you need to make up for that with your shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm. And then she did ask about clothing, though, but I was just using her shop as an example.
Why not do both?
Yeah.
And then do them for 6 months and see which one.
Assess.
Yeah. And then I would have duplicate items. I would have same. That way you compare apples to apples, not apples to pineapples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Corinne, she's really, we used to thrift together in high school.
How fun.
What other listener could say that?
Me. I listen.
No, but you did not know me when I was in high school.
Teach it. No.
Yeah, we used to go to some really good thrift stores. My thrift buddy. Okay. Well, thank you, Corinne.
Great question.
Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. Next, we have Lauren K. She is at Hyperspace Vintage.
Ooh.
Yes, thank you, Lauren, for your support. Let me pull up her question really quick. I just save them in my Instagram inbox because it's quicker. It's easier than me to, like, rewrite. I'm sorry.
Killing me, man.
I just saw something I have to show you afterwards. And then, Lauren, I'm not laughing at you.
Was it that Scottish guy again?
No. Okay. She asks, when an opportunity presents itself that could help you scale up your business, what helps you to know if it's a good opportunity or if it's not?
Is she specifically talking about her business or my business or any business?
Well, let's put it in perspective. She's new to this.
Okay.
So let's put it in perspective for her.
Okay. So she's
from
new
your
to
perspective.
This. From my perspective. Okay. A lot of it has to do with what you're having to sacrifice or give up in order to get ahead. Whether scaling up your business means borrowing money, increasing inventory, both of those things have some risk to them. So you have to be comfortable with your risk to reward ratio. And everybody's is different. Some people it's mathematical. Some people it's, I don't want to owe anybody anything. I don't want to have excess inventory. And then who you're working with. I can't speak for you, but I know my risk to reward. I'm very aggressive, as Bridget will tell you. I go for it. And it's pretty much, I feel like I've been blessed with house money in a sense, because me and my brother started this with barely a couple $100 each. And we just, you know, we dove into it 100% and have been buying and selling for the past 20 something years. And we're not afraid of working hard. So it has to do with what you're giving up to increase. There have been a lot of clowns that have come across our way. who've promised the world and delivered shit, especially in LA, you'll come across producers, designers who want to make you a partner, want to do this, and you could smell them coming 100 miles away. I can't anyway, but my brother buys that crap. So you kind of have to have a filter to realize, okay, how reputable is the opportunity? Is it long-term? Is it short-lived? What are you risking? There's nothing wrong with a short-term gain as long as you're not risking long-term deficits. If it's you see something has a potential to be long-term, or it's a space became available in this area and it's absolutely one of the best brick and mortar locations, then go for it, because those opportunities don't present themselves. And if it means you having to quit your job to go for it full time, do it.
Yeah. And I don't think she'll be mad at me for saying this. Lauren is based in the New York City metro area, and she's looking for some people or like an event. She's just kind of trying to put herself out there and get outside of her comfort zone. So if anybody listening would like to collaborate with her, maybe start a pop-up series or do something fun, get in touch with her. It's at Hyperspace Vintage. So thank you, Lauren, for your patron pledge.
Yeah, it's a great question, too.
She and Corinne, like two East Coast gals. Corinne's based out of Pennsylvania, which I'm sure you already assumed.
Yes.
And now we have a West Coast gal, our third and final new patron. Her name is Melissa, and her business Instagram is at LeShawl, L-E-S-H-A-W-L, LeShawl. It's like a little Scotty dog, I think, is the icon. That, or I'm blind. No, that is a Scotty dog. Okay. She has a question for you.
Okay.
Pretty simple. What did you do to promote your business to get it where it's at today?
I treated every customer with respect.
I was going to say two words. I could answer that one. He's nice.
She says I'm too nice, but no. It ultimately, we don't do advertising. We let our service and our products speak for themselves, and it's our customer success, because that's ultimately what you want. I don't want somebody to come here and drop $10,000 and never come back, because that doesn't do much for me and them. I feel like I failed them somehow. I want someone to come here, get the things they need, get super excited, text me, say, oh my God, I sold everything, or that stuff went so fast, please send me some more, or when can I come back for the next visit? But in terms of promoting yourself, thing you have going for yourself is you.
You've passively used one of the oldest forms of marketing, which is word of mouth. You know,
yeah,
it's old school.
But you know what you complain about is we're the hidden unicorn. Nobody wants to promote us.
Well, no, I'm talking about pre-social media. You know, when you guys were building up your business, and even when I first started working with you almost 8 years ago now, when I talk about that, I'm talking about nobody wants to support the podcast, and I shouldn't say nobody.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you know, nobody wants to give up their source.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, but that has a lot to do with people not, like, sharing the podcast as well.
Sure, because they think, like,
they think, you know, someone's going to, their next door neighbor, wherever they're selling their vintage, is going to come and buy the entire warehouse. Which, by the way, if you have ever felt that way and you're one of our clients, we don't allow just anyone to come here. So don't think just because you tell someone about us that they're going to be able to come here.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. But no, you guys don't have a website.
No, never wanted it. Tried it for a week and I hated it. People ask me the dumbest things. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No social media.
No.
So really, you guys, I think, built up your business during a time prior to all of that using just good moral and ethical standards.
Yeah. There's not a single person that we've, you know, done dirty or can say something bad, except this one Japanese guy I threw up against a truck because he asked for a discount too many times, but that's a different story. Yeah. I bought him a beer later. We're friends now.
Well, I think maybe what you're trying to sum up is just, you know, be your best self.
Yeah. Be your best self and then be genuine. And now that you have social media, be real on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I talked to her about that during our mentor session.
Okay. So when people would meet me at the warehouse or they would meet me at the Rose Bowl, they knew what they were getting regardless. There wasn't like, oh, he's so nice at the pop up, but man, when you get to his warehouse, he's a jerk. Just be consistent. You know, I think that's a big thing. And it's like one of my big pet peeves when I go buy stuff as well is sometimes there isn't consistency because I'll go buy something and the next time I go, things have changed and I'm like, what happened? Just because I came back, I'll, you know, that bugs me. So I've tried to stay consistent, whether it's pricing, attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So if you want to support the podcast, I do not have any $20 spots left anymore. The 5 mentor spots have been filled and unfortunately I can't do any more than that at this point in time. So if anybody drops out of the program, I will let some people know that reached out to me that they were interested. Kind of have a little wait list going on. But there are $2 and $5 support levels that you could participate in if you're looking to financially support the podcast. I posted some videos this morning on Instagram, just kind of telling you what I've been using the money for, renovating. There are things that I still need to buy for the new office. I have a long list of things. So any money that you contribute, I will be putting toward that. It's nice to have some help because when I first started the podcast, Art helped me a little bit financially, but I bought a lot of the stuff myself, you know, a lot of the technical stuff. So it's nice to have help. I really appreciate it. And it'll just make the podcast better for everyone in the long run. So if you'd like to support us, feel free to do so. patreon.podbean.com/mybestvintagelifepodcast. And if you don't feel like typing all that out, just do Podbean, Patron, My Best Vintage Life Podcast on Google and it'll come up. And at the $5 level, you get to you get a shout out, personal and or business. You get to ask Art a burning question and you get 2 extra bonus episodes a month or little mini-sodes. Next week, I'm going to talk about the estate sale that I scored big on recently. Just talk about my feelings about that. It was something new for me. And
was it fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I just have, you know, feedback for everybody on it. So that'll come out next week. That'll be next week's mini-sode for those of you that are supporting at the $5 and $20 level. Okay, friends. So the second half of this episode, I wanted to talk about fashion-forward summer films. So I'm not talking about movies that are filmed in the summer or have a summer theme, but I just think light and happy, funny movies that are great for summer viewing. Art does not like the fashion-forward term, so take what you will away from that. I just think that they're movies that are amazing, but they also have a heavy fashion influence in them, or they have, you know, a reputation for being a fashionable film because of the wardrobe. So I do have to apologize because I put a question sticker on Instagram asking people for their responses, and I usually take a screenshot of them. This time I didn't do that, but I thought if I kept scrolling down through my activity feed that they'd be there, and they disappeared. So I lost a lot of people's responses, but
there were some good ones because as they came in, you were telling me.
I can remember some of them. So almost everyone said Clueless, which I do agree with. That's an amazing movie in terms of the wardrobe. Dustin, our former intern and employee, said that he and his girlfriend really, while it's not a movie, they like The Fitz. They like The Fitz from The Nanny. Fran Drescher.
Right.
She had some amazing outfits.
Very angular.
Yeah, bright, different textures, lots of fuzzy and fluffy and good stuff, patterns.
Maybe they watched it on mute.
Yeah, I know. I can't handle her voice.
She's tough.
It's a lot. And Tiffany sent me, God, she must have sent me like 10. The one that sticks out to me is Hannah and her sisters, which it's hard for me to watch Woody Allen movies now after watching Allen versus Farrow on was that HBO Max? Yeah, that was a great documentary. And I do think he did what they say he did, which makes it really hard to watch those movies. But Hannah and her sisters is probably one of my favorite Woody Allen movies. And the fashion, not only the fashion in it, but the set design and the interiors. And all of his movies are pretty great. Same with like Annie Hall, Manhattan Murder Mystery, you know, Diane Keaton style. But, you know, fuck her for standing up for him. I'm sorry. That really pisses me off. Anyways, that doesn't mean I don't think that the movies are great or that she isn't a great actress, but that really pissed me off. So I'm trying to think of the other movies that people said. Guys, I'm so sorry. Don't let this deter you from doing my survey again. But I came up with some recommendations or movies that I like, so at least we have something to talk about. And I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, I got a couple.
You want to do yours first?
Sure. As you know, I love musicals.
Yes, you do.
I don't know why. big guy who likes musicals. Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. I've never seen it.
The colors, the visuals are unbelievable. And the Bohemians, it's like, it's set in Paris, late 1890s, I think. And Nicole Kidman and what's his name? Obi-Wan. He's in Star Wars, the new Star Wars.
I haven't seen
it. Man. Of course, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, that's okay.
And he's really singing. He's a good singer.
I'm trying to think of who I thought was.
He was in Trainspotting.
Oh, Clive Owen?
No. Clive! You people all.
Okay. Keep talking. I'll look it up.
Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ewan.
Not Ewan McGregor.
Doesn't he kind of look like Clive Owen, though?
Maybe I
was confusing Owen with Ewan.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
I love that. And John Leguizamo's in there. Mm-hmm. And the outfits that they wear is just the Duke. Just everything's just crisp. And then the big, like the MC, he's a crack up too. And the faces. Mm-hmm. And maybe the reason I like it, it was done by Baz Luhrmann.
Baj.
No relation. Yeah. So that's one of my all-time favorites. I could watch that anytime.
Any more? No, I'll do mine, and if anything pops into your head, I have five. So this is kind of an offbeat movie, more of an indie movie, but it's called The Day Trippers. And it's a holiday movie, but I thought it's July.
Oh, I've seen that.
Christmas in July, maybe. I think it's based in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, like the day after Thanksgiving. But Parker Posey's in it. And frankly, any movie that she's in, I love her style in the movies. But her sister in the movie has a really good style.
The boots, the long boots. Remember, she's phrasing?
She wears a real short mini skirt. And Liev Schreiber's in it. He's amazing. He's so funny. And Anne Meara, who is Steve's mom on Sex and the City, she's the mom in this movie. And it's really good. They're a Long Island family. They go into New York City. I won't say for what, but Stanley Tucci is in it as well. So check out The Day Trippers. The Birdcage, I mean.
You can't take that. That's like one of my favorites too.
I mean, it's just so good.
Yeah.
On so many levels. It's just like Florida extravagance, and then you have people in drag, and you have Calista Flockhart, who is like Preppy Patty, you know, in her Exeter sweatshirt, and it's just I don't know, and what's her name? Christine Baranski. And she's just so good. You know, like she's legs for days in her little pantsuit or her little skirt suit that she wears. And aesthetically, it's just the set.
Well, even Nathan
good.
Lane's style.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. But and Hank Azaria and the pool on the roof, the little kidney shaped pool on the roof. I love it all. It's so good.
See where our party money.
Yeah. You know what I love is when what's his name? The senator in real life. What's his name?
Gene Hackman.
When they like roll into they're like in traffic and like the thongs are going by and he's looking and then like the bulges are going by and then the women are looking because you know they're so conservative. I love it. I think it's perfect.
South Beach.
Yes. A huevo. That's a huevo. Okay.
It's very Guatemalan.
The next one I have is Down and Out in Beverly Hills. And that's a movie a lot of people haven't seen. I believe it was Disney's first R-rated movie. Bette Midler's in it.
You're the boss, Dave.
Nick Nolte, Bette Midler, and Richard Dreyfuss. It's just so good. Their home is just very much like early 90s, late 80s, Beverly Hills, just over the top. Their outfits
Marble.
Are all really good. Their daughter wears a lot of really great outfits. Bette Midler has amazing clothes. And Little Richard is their neighbor. And he's everything, you know. You can't go wrong with Little Richard. And they always have the cops called on them in like a helicopter. And Little Richard comes out and yells at them. And it's really good. I love it.
And that, you know, that in that movie, that's like, you know, that thing we do, chic, homeless or chic.
Oh, and you can't tell, because there are, truthfully, there are people in Fresno, you can't tell if they're a homeless person or if it's someone who has that, like,
great style,
post-apocalyptic, just walked out of the desert, you know, look. I'm not even kidding. There have been times when I don't know.
Mad Max.
Yeah. And it's an embarrassing thing, and I feel bad admitting it, but other people say the same thing. It's like, you don't know, like, yeah, is that Mad Max or is this a homeless person? But Nick Nolte's style in that movie as a homeless person was just as good as his style when he gets cleaned up, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what good. He looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four, I have Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
I don't remember that too much.
It's really good. It's based, like, in, I want to say, the Carolinas, and it's just, there's two sisters in the movie, and they both have just very different style, but I like both of their style, and the homes in the show and the apartments are really good. Laura San Giacomo loves plants, and she has, like, an amazing apartment with hardwood floors and a beautiful fireplace. And her style is just really good. You know, she's what? Like the slutty sister. And then, God, what's her name? Andie MacDowell is like the good sister. Like the...
That doesn't make her good.
Goody Two Shoes sister.
Oh, Goody Two Shoes. Okay.
Yeah. So I won't say what's going on if you haven't seen that movie. But it won, I think, Best Picture at Cannes that year. It's looked upon very highly.
I have one for you.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
That the new one,
yes.
That one with Kirsten Dunst and that Schwartzman
Jason
guy.
Schwartzman.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
That's
especially
epic. They allowed them to film at Versailles.
The actual castle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if I would call Versailles a castle as much as it is
the castle at Versailles.
It is. It's not. Isn't a
that
cast.
In the title?
It's. Yeah, but it's not. To me, it's more of a
because
palace.
It's not, oh, palace.
Yeah. To me, there's a difference.
There's a difference.
See what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
The world according to Bridget.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm very particular about my architectural terms, but like the scene when they're I Want Candy, you know, just pure like decadence and they're dressed up and they just keep eating the cakes and eating the cookies and eating the
bonbons. What was that other one that we, that one song that's in it that's really, really good.
Hong Kong Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not going to fly these days, but yeah, the scene is good. Well, I like that scene because the choreography is timed to the beat of a modern song, just like they have the Converse shoes in the I Want Candy scene. They let that in. But yeah, when they're doing like the...
It's not they a, did it's, have Converse shoes.
Well, when she... Yeah, and when she's trying on the shoes, there's a
right.
pair of Converse. They did that on purpose.
That's great Sophia memory Coppola. You have.
Yeah, okay. She left that in on purpose. But when they're dancing to Hong Kong Garden, they're all in their, you know, their big ball gowns. Like, they're, I want to say it's not, it's like a flatté turn in ballet.
Okay.
Where, like, you push off and you spin, you know, like, it's going to the beat of the music, the turn. So they purposefully did time the choreography to the beat of a modern song. I think that's really cool.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't miss a beat.
They didn't miss a beat. And my last one is Picnic at Hanging Rock. So I'm sure I've talked about it before on the podcast, but my Australian listeners, you might be sick of that movie at this point in time in your lives. Who knows? It's an older movie, but just the Victorian dresses of that era, the cotton and the parasols and the Victorian boots. It's just very aesthetically pleasing, but at the same time very eerie, and also a really great book. There's a missing chapter of the book that I read the summary of last night, so now I know what happened in the movie. Kind of ruined it for myself, but apparently it's only like 12 pages long, so I just read like the digest of it. So
gotcha.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't say Out of Africa. That's like,
oh yeah, God.
That's
I don't
like,
know why. Listen, I could sit here all day and talk and talk and talk. But
so
yes.
I hadn't seen that movie probably since it first came out back in the 80s. And I saw it again recently. And now that I'm, because back then I wasn't into vintage clothes. So yeah. Now when I saw what they're wearing, I'm like, I started recognizing, you know, the safari shirts, the joppers, all the different outfits that Redford had, even hers.
Oh,
you know, I mean she dressed very manly. Once she took over the farm.
Well, she was a powerful woman, but I don't know. I really enjoyed her character. I thought she was, I respected, like, and I'm sure Isaac Dennison was like this in real life. The Baroness Blixen, you know, I think she actually did really care about the Kikuyu tribe. And I appreciate that she cared about what happened to them after she left. And I know Absolutely. People have like a lot of opinions on colonialism and what happened, but I don't think everybody was as awful as most people were.
No. Yeah.
And I think her being a woman helped, you know, the guy she married, Roar, he was a piece of shit, man whore, basically. And she paid, you know, a price for that. But no, the clothes in the movie were phenomenal. And I know a lot of people still look to it for inspiration.
Oh, I love those safari shirts.
There's a heavy equestrian theme because she was constantly, you know, riding around on her horse. I don't want to talk about it too much because I will cry.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Build a big fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here she goes.
No, I can't. Oh, no. But just her relationship with with Farah is just so special.
What happened to these light movies?
Well, you were the one who didn't have Out of Africa on my list.
I have another one. The outfits in Beer Fest. Have you ever seen Beer Fest?
Yeah, one time. I don't do titty movies. That's a titty movie.
I'm just trying to change it so you don't cry anymore.
Okay. I did want to suggest, though, if you have Instagram, to check out the Criterion Collection's Instagram, the films that they have on there, because they post a lot of films that I've never even heard of, and I'm pretty well-versed in films. So if you're looking for new movies to watch, and if you've seen all the ones I mentioned, or you're just looking to switch things up, they do a lot of different themes. You know, I thought you would have an Eddie Murphy movie.
Nope. You told me not to.
I did not tell you not to.
Nope.
I didn't say that.
Well, Coming to America was amazing.
Yeah.
But I love Eddie Murphy.
That's arts, everything.
Yeah.
Are there any other movies of his? You mentioned one that was based in New York City.
Oh, Harlem Nights. Harlem Nights, yeah. Him and Richard Pryor.
Yeah,
Della Reese. Priors. I'm going to shoot your pinky toe. I'm going to shoot it. You shot my damn pinky toe.
Richard Pryor. So many people consider him one of the best comics of all time.
Oh,
do you think he's better than Eddie Murphy? Different.
Different.
Yeah.
Different. 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 Different time. That's the thing. You can't compare different comedians.
He did a lot of drugs as well, correct?
He did, yeah.
Eddie Murphy was not so much into drugs.
No.
He was more like... sober, right? I don't think he 100%.
I mean, poor Richard Pryor, he burned himself up.
I saw that on a documentary.
Again, that's why it's hard. Like, you can't compare an athlete from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s. It's like you gotta compare them if they competed in the same era, because rules are different. Like, you know, a lot of people think Lenny Bruce, you know, the comedian Lenny Bruce, mm-hmm. Oh, he's the greatest comic of all time. Well, not my thing.
Yeah, people say that about Carlin too.
That Carlin's different.
Yeah.
Carlin, I think, is like a Richard Pryor, is where he inspired.
I feel like the two juggernauts are like Carlin and Pryor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get much better than them.
What was that guy's name? I mean, some people think.
Charlie Chaplin.
Different again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different sort of presence. I mean, think about it, like captivating people without saying a word.
Yeah.
And he did. He mesmerized people with
Silent
his face.
Film.
Yeah. His expressions, his movements, his body language. So that's tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you going to say, I thought you were going to say someone else. I think that was a really good. I'm sitting here trying to think. I feel so bad about the movies.
Well, remember I was telling you about Blade Runner. That's Blade Runner.
I don't know if I've seen that. I've seen it maybe one time and didn't commit it to
memory. For the time when it came out, like you're talking 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So early Harrison Ford. But the costumes in it, phenomenal.
I can't hear Harrison Ford without hearing Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison Ford.
F off.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. He's got a trench coat on, huh?
Yeah.
Is this it? Oh, no. I guess they remade it.
They remade it, yeah.
Did Daryl Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. It's on HBO Max right now. I should watch it.
You should.
But
watch it with the 70s eye and you'll appreciate it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I'm not like, oh my God, this is so cheesy now. Like, I understand. Yeah, for the time, it was, people did the best they could.
Yeah. Because
it goes with a lot of things. I don't,
because I don't think you can pay a kid, honestly, to sit down and watch Space Odyssey.
No, I'm lucky because like I was Stanley at that tail, Kubrick movie? The tail end of the, you know, like I had seen that, but I also had like the technology, but like 2, 3, 4 years after me, you start, it starts getting real fuzzy. They don't want to, they just don't get it. I get it.
I mean,
I also grew up with older parents and an older brother, and I've always kind of been an old soul, so I've never had that wall up, you know, where like, I don't get it. I love film of all ages, and I had to watch a lot of film in college.
Yeah.
For my Spanish degree and for my Italian minor, I had to watch both Italian and Spanish films. That's a whole, you're talking about cool fashion and cool set design, that's a whole other thing, you know.
Yeah, so I didn't really watch too much TV growing up. I watched a lot of war movies. I loved anything war movie, cowboy movies.
Yeah.
That was my thing. And then comedies, Eddie Murphy comedies.
Yeah.
Anything Eddie Murphy. I mean, I used to, man, I always wanted to meet him.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of a he's reclusive.
Yeah.
He doesn't leave his home.
He's a good family man, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Well, he takes care of a lot of kids.
He takes care of a lot of kids. I just know he like really scared, Mel B of the Spice Girls. Like he didn't like want her to leave the house and she was really scared. And I like her. So.
No, I couldn't tell you.
What's that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that is all she wrote for this episode. Hopefully the next one, we'll be back in my office at our new table recording. We're looking at each other today. This will be a taste of what our new episode is like. I know. Heidi. So, friends, in the meantime, feel free to reach out if you need anything. Sponsor us via the Patreon page. We would really appreciate it. Rate and review if you can't financially pledge right now.
Keep the questions coming. Because your questions could be someone else's question.
Yeah.
And it's helpful.
All right. In the meantime, stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, be kind, and don't be basic.
Don't be basic.
Bye.